Hello and welcome to the BizNews Edge. I'm Alec Hogg. Well, three stories in the program today, and if you step back and look at them together, they're all asking the same question about South Africa. Can our country be trusted? Trusted by foreign investors putting $5 billion, well, a big chunk of it anyway, into one of our great industrial assets. Trusted to govern with integrity by a president who last night made a cabinet appointment. It leaves me genuinely puzzled. And trusted, perhaps most importantly, to confront the deep, deep rot that's inside the one institution that's supposed to protect all of us. Well, the heart of today's program is my conversation with Paul O'Sullivan, South Africa's most relentless forensic investigator, who on Monday spent over 6 hours giving sworn testimony to the Madlanga Commission. It's not the first time he was there. Last time, he came away from there with a social media flurry against him. This time around, well, it's been a bit more balanced, with some people saying, well done, Paul. His argument, put simply, is that the man who many have hailed as a whistleblowing hero may be nothing of the sort. But first, today's major news stories. So Ramaphosa reshuffled his cabinet last night at the DA's request ahead of the November 4th local government elections. On the DA side, it's internal housekeeping. John Steenhuisen is demoted from Agriculture Minister to Deputy Minister of Trade. Surprise there is he's anything in the cabinet, and in fact that the DA is letting taxpayers pay this man who basically threw them under the bus in an interview last week, but such as politics, maybe they accept these kind of things. Philly Okump replaces Steenhuisen in agriculture, and the farmers are delighted because he too is a farmer. Another good piece of work, one believes, is the talented David Mania, who steps up from the Western Cape Education Department, where he's done a good job under very difficult circumstances, into the National Forestry, Fisheries and Environment portfolio. All of that is pretty clean, straightforward, apart from Steenhuisen actually staying in the party and in the cabinet. But Ramaphosa made one appointment that was entirely his own, and this is the one that's making people look twice this morning. Dina Pule becomes Minister of Social Development. Now, cast your mind back to 2013. Pule was fired as Communications Minister after Parliament's Ethics Panel found that she had persistently lied, concealing her relationship with a businessman whose company pocketed 6 million rand in contracts from her department. Remember, this is taxpayer money. This is the VAT that the gogos in the townships pay, as well as the income tax from companies and you and I. Public protector Thuli Madonsela, if there's one person who is respected in this country, it's Thuli, found Pule's conduct unlawful, and she was duly fined by Parliament. Now Ramaphosa has put her into the portfolio that manages social grants for 28 million South Africans, a 300 billion rand a year chunk of our taxes. Beggars belief, doesn't it? The DA is furious. On this one, Ramaphosa owns it completely. Even his staunchest allies must be shaking their heads at what is surely another major own goal. South 32 shares jumped 10% on the JSE this morning, and the story behind that headline has a very South African twist. American aluminium giant Alcoa has agreed to buy South 32's entire aluminium value chain for a price of up to $5.5 billion, billion that is. South 32 was created in 2015 when BHP, the big Australian, spun off its South African assets. It always felt like a holding structure waiting for an exit, and a little bit like a, not a little bit, absolutely like a divestment by BHP wanting to just get shod of anything to do with our country. Now they've found that exit, or at least for a big part of the South 32 assets. The centerpiece for us, though, is Hillside. It's the largest aluminium smelter in the Southern Hemisphere, built in Richards Bay at the time when Eskom produced the cheapest electricity on Earth, and more electricity than the country could possibly use. Well, smelters, and especially aluminium smelters, depend on cheap electricity, and lots of it. But Hillside carries a lot of baggage. Civil society group Open Secrets last year revealed that Hillside enjoyed an Eskom electricity discount worth an estimated 92 billion rand over 10 years. Now let that sink in, because this was a big discount, half-price electricity, and plenty of it at a time when South Africans were in the dark through years of load shedding. Talk about a bum decision at some point in the past. Well, Eskom says the deal stabilizes the grid. I suppose they have to defend it in some way. Critics, though, say it was the country's largest industrial subsidy. It was dressed up as energy policy. Alcoa now inherits both the asset and the controversy. That Eskom contract, by the way, runs to 2031. And now let me take you to the main story of the day. You'll remember the scene. The 6th of July, 2025, exactly a year ago on Monday. SAPS General Nhlanhla Mkhwanazi, flanked by officers in balaclavas, wielding automatic weapons, some of them in, it just looked like a guerrilla-type uniforms, held a press conference and accused organized crime of penetrating the South African police service at the highest levels. Mkhwanazi is the head of the police in KwaZulu-Natal. Those images found a ready audience in a nation which was hurtful with the ever-escalating crime that we are suffering with. Here was a man in uniform with the courage to call it out. Many hailed Mkhwanazi as a rare, honest cop. Indeed, I've been trying to get him to come to the BizNews conference. Unfortunately, his diary has not permitted yet. But who knows? Maybe in March next year. Watching from the sidelines, though, was Paul O'Sullivan. And he watched that press conference very carefully. He wasn't impressed. The ace crime fighter was back at the Madlanga Commission on Monday. I spoke to Paul O'Sullivan this morning. When General Nhlanhla Mkhwanazi held his dramatic press conference, who'd forget that, on the 6th of July last year, balaclava-clad officers behind him, allegations of cartel capture of the criminal justice system, he was hailed by many in South Africa as a rare whistleblower in uniform. Forensic investigator Paul O'Sullivan has a different view. And then in sworn testimony, again before the Madlanga Commission, this time on Monday, O'Sullivan argued that Mkhwanazi knew about organized crime's penetration of the police for years, and that the press conference itself was a smokescreen, timed to deflect from the arrest 2 days earlier of 7 senior crime intelligence officers. O'Sullivan has spent 2 decades and millions of his own money exposing corruption inside the South African police services, from Jackie Celebi to Radovan Kresha to General Falani. Mkhwanazi has hit back, filing a 5 million rand defamation claim and accusing O'Sullivan of being an instrument of Deputy Commissioner Shadrach Sibiya. O'Sullivan has countersued for 10 million rand. The commission must report to President Ramaphosa by the 31st of August. So it's all coming to a head. Paul O'Sullivan joins me now. Paul, let's start on the focus part here about a whistleblower. You said in your testimony, a whistleblower needs clean hands. What did you, just elaborate a little on that for those who maybe didn't watch through the whole thing.
So, and unfortunately, a lot of people don't realize the history of General Mkhwanazi. At the ripe old age of 38, he was parachuted into the position as acting deputy commissioner of police. That was in 2011. And in order for that parachuting to happen, and by the way, it was Jacob Zuma that parachuted him in, which will help you to understand why the MK Party are such staunch supporters of General Nkunasi. The reality of the situation is, after he was parachuted in, well, let's go back before he was parachuted in. He was a major general. He was running the task force. That's the combative people that you saw standing behind him when he made his press conference, which will be a year ago on Monday. Now, he was promoted in the evening from major general, which he'd been in that position for a couple of years. He was promoted to lieutenant general and then immediately promoted to acting commissioner of police. And at the age of 38, and he leapfrogged about 45 lieutenant generals who, you know, if you look at their eligibility, some of them would have been eligible to stand in that position. But let's park that. What happened after he was appointed acting police commissioner? He was certainly on my radar screen then, because if we turn the clock back, I'd gone after Jackie Salebi in 2002. And that investigation finalized in 2008 with Jackie Salebi being criminally charged with corruption. And in 2010, as everybody will know, in August 2010, he was convicted and sentenced to 15 years in prison. And then shortly after that, Becky Cheli was suspended by Jacob Zuma. Now, it's interesting to note that before Becky Cheli was suspended, he suspended Richard Ndluli. Richard Ndluli was head of crime intelligence. And when Richard Ndluli was suspended, it caused a shaking of the trees around. Now, it's a given fact that the crime intelligence slush fund, it's called the Secret Service account, but I call it the slush fund. It's grown from $98 million in 2012 per annum to $600 million per annum in 2024. I haven't seen the books for 2025 yet, but it's failed every single year. It's failed its audit by the Auditor General's office because of the secrecy around how they spend that money. And millions and millions and millions of rand are stolen every year. And there's a succession of people working in crime intelligence that have been arrested and charged and sent to prison for stealing from the crime intelligence slush fund. So here we have a situation where Richard Ndluli in 2010, which was when Jacob Zuma was facing criminal charges based on the Shabir Sheikh allegations. In 2010, Richard Ndluli sent a letter of support to Jacob Zuma and told him, listen, protect me and I'll do whatever I can to help you. Now, within weeks of him getting that letter, Jacob Zuma suspended Becky Cheli, who had suspended Richard Ndluli, and he appointed Nkunasi as acting head of the police. Within weeks of being appointed acting head of the police, General Nkunasi was having multiple meetings with Nongkhobo Jiba and Lawrence Mwebi from the National Prosecuting Authority. They then withdrew the criminal charges against Richard Ndluli. And after they withdrew the criminal charges against Richard Ndluli, Nkunasi unlawfully withdrew the disciplinary charges against Richard Ndluli and put him back to work. And not only put him back to work, but gave him the additional work of looking after the ministers and the president, the blue light brigades that look after them. Now, what was interesting?
Yeah, you made the point quite strongly there, Paul, and you also, in your evidence, spoke about handbags that had been given to the wives of Nkunasi and a colleague who were able to give a inflated audit. But let's move on to the really the hard evidence that you provided to the commission yesterday, and that's on the metadata on the PowerPoint presentation. Now, I found this to be quite explosive. The fact that you say that the PowerPoint presentation that was made by Nkunasi a year ago on Monday was done not by himself, but on a SAPS computer. Now, I think everybody knows this, has heard this, but what I need to know is whose computer was that? Because You'd imagine a general in the police wouldn't necessarily know how to use PowerPoint, so he might have got somebody who works for him to put it together for him.
We've identified the computer, and what we've done is we've supplied that information directly to the Madlanga Commission investigators. The reality of the situation is it's a police head office computer, not a computer from the province of KZN. And we know the person. We've met with the person that produced that PowerPoint presentation. So we know exactly what all went on there. But we can't implicate anybody on that. It's up to the Madlanga Commission to complete that aspect of the work. What I suggested to the Madlanga Commission on Monday in my 6 hours and 20 minutes of testimony was that they should keep an open mind. Because not only the metadata of that PowerPoint presentation is just a piece of the cake of the open mind that we want them to have. And we wanted them, and that's my evidence, we want them to start with the 2012 unlawful lifting of the suspension. If you look at the presentation that Nkunazi did on the 6th of July last year, there were two central themes to it. The one theme was that organized crime has penetrated the police. The second theme was that the Minister of Police was giving instructions to the police to carry out on what to do and what not to do. Well, the reality is, when he appeared before Parliament on the 19th of April 2012 and was questioned by the Parliamentary Portfolio Committee of Police as to why he had lifted the suspension of Richard Ndluli and put him back to work, he didn't give a straight answer. He told them, it wasn't my decision. It was a decision made by higher authority.
You've got a guy in his 30s who's been catapulted, who's been put into that position 13 years ago. Sorry, my arithmetic's failing me. But
15 years ago.
And he was then perhaps told by somebody that to unsuspend Ndluli, maybe, anyway.
Exactly the point. But here's the best part about it. He then got involved in a cover-up as to who had told him. And that cover-up, the evidence that I gave, is that that cover-up lasted for 8 years. And it was only when I met with Frank Dutton of the Zondo Commission, and as you know, unfortunately, the Zondo Commission threw the towel in when it came to dealing with the criminal justice system. They should have started with the criminal justice system. You did an interview with me 8 years ago, and I said that it was a big mistake to drop the criminal justice system. But when the Zondo Commission were active, they were looking at the criminal justice system. And when they were looking at it, I provided them with the flow of events relating to Jackie Selebi, Richard Ndluli, and all the events that happened around that period. And I identified Nkandla Mkhwanzi as being the individual that took instructions from Jacob Zuma to unsuspend Richard Ndluli. Now, he admitted to the Sondo Commission that he took the instructions from Natty and Tetwa, who apparently stepped on a bar of soap and fell out of a window in Paris.
There's so much complexity here and so many layers to the onion, and you've made your point, I think, pretty forcibly, that this was a young guy who got catapulted and he was not his own man at that time. Many people say he's his own man now, and I think that's really where the issue comes in. He has a counter claim against you. His defense, as it were, is that you have targeted him because you are very close to Shadrach Sibiya. That's basically his attack. How do you answer that relationship? What's your relationship with Sibiya?
I've made it clear. I've only met Shadrach Sibiya in his office, or in my office, if he's come to my office, and that would be like two or three times a year. I had no relationship with him. I don't know where he lives. I've never been to lunch or breakfast or supper or had a drink with him. I don't know him. I know him only on a professional basis. So I'm afraid Nkunasi's weakness is that he's grasping at straws. The reality of the situation is, if you start at 2012 and you've You say he's his own man now. He wasn't his own man, if you look at my evidence, in 2018, when he was trying to put the dampers on the investigation against General Pashlani, who's now on trial for corruption involving 500 million rand, or thereabouts. Now, General Mkhwanazi had secret meetings with senior, very senior IPED officials and offered them promotion into senior positions in the police if they would dish up dirt on Robert McBride and Paul O'Sullivan, who were leading the investigation into Pashlani. So if Mkhwanazi's now his own man, he must have had a Damascus moment where he came to Jesus and said, oh, yes, thank you. Now I'm going to be my own man. But you know what he needs to do first? And this is what happens when you have your Damascus moment, is you confess all the sins that you've committed before, and he hasn't done that.
Well, we did see Mogoeng when he was appointed by Jacob Zuma as the Chief Justice, transforming from something that most people thought he would be a lackey, and he wasn't. So it's not unknown to have these Damascene moments. But Paul, what we know that the commission is reporting, has to report by the 31st of August. What do you need to see in that final report that will convince you that it isn't captured and it hasn't been a waste or hasn't been a waste of time?
Well, with all due respect, I always thought the Sondo Commission was a great thing. It cost 1.1 billion rand, a complete waste of taxpayers' money. At least coming out of this Madlanga Commission, we've seen some arrests, which is great. But what they're doing is they're just dealing with the area which Mkhwanazi has identified. I've identified a lot more dirty cops. And, you know, if you look at Masemola, the current chief of police, he's on trial for facilitating corruption. And he's still the chief of, well, he's been suspended. He's taken leave of absence, and there's an acting. It's exactly what happened with Jackie Celebi. I've been going after Masemola since 2022. I've been going after Mkhwanazi since 2012. So really, at the end of the day, I don't want the Madlanga Commission to say anything that's going to be startling. What I want them to do is keep an open mind and look at the possibilities of what's going on. Corruption within the police is at an all-time high, and it's become like that over the last 20 or 30 years, and it's got to be dealt with. And when you appoint people with no ethics into senior positions in the police, you end up with the mess that we have today. There's only one way to fix it, and that's to start with a clean sheet of paper and let everybody reapply for their jobs, and they need to be properly vetted. And if they've got any baggage, they need to be left out. And if it means taking out the checkbook and paying them off, that's going to be far cheaper than seeing this country become like Mexico, where the police decide who will be punished and who won't be punished, and they kill them and leave their bodies in the street.
So it's a pretty simple solution then. Just do the basics right.
That's it, exactly. The Madlanga Commission have done some really good work already. They've issued an interim report. But the problem is they're only focusing on the people that Mkhwanazi has identified. There's a lot more people that need to be hauled in and dealt with. And the cleanup of the police service is not a 5-minute job. It's not a 1-year commission. It's probably a 5-year commission, and it needs to continue, and there needs to be a report issued every 6 months until all these rotten eggs that have been appointed from way back when, by the way, Jackie Celebi appointed his friends as cops. Those people are now colonels and brigadiers and generals. They need to be got out. The same with Pashlani. Pashlani was head of HR at one stage. By the way, Mkhwanazi was head of HR at one stage. So you end up with all these favorable appointments, and they are choosing. If I look at crime intelligence, there's excess baggage in the way of appointments. I've received 25 emails last night from a person in crime intelligence with evidence detailing how posts were created just so that friends and family could be parachuted in at the rank of brigadier and above to receive taxpayers' money. And it's just got to stop.
Paul O'Sullivan, forensic investigator. And as always, thank you for your contribution.
Thanks a lot, Eric.
There you have it, Paul O'Sullivan. Never less than direct. But let me give you my honest take on what we just heard. The metadata on the PowerPoint presentation is explosive in a courtroom sense, but it isn't what stayed with me. And it was because, as I said to you, I'm not sure who actually put that together. And Paul did disclose today that it was someone at SAP's head office. But on the other hand, it could be just someone that Mkhwanazi knows who said, help me with this PowerPoint. Anyway, that being what it is, that'll come out in the wash, no doubt. What stayed with me, though, was O'Sullivan's bigger argument. Corruption in the South African police service is not a recent infection. It's a 30-year accumulation. Jackie Selebi appointed his people. Those people are now colonels, brigadiers, and generals. Richard Mdluli's era left its fingerprints on crime intelligence and a fund that has grown from 100 million rand a year, which is big enough, to over 600 million today, despite failing its audit every year. Let that sink in as well. Patlani was head of HR at one stage. Mkhwanazi was head of HR at one stage too. The rotten tree was planted decades ago. Somehow it's been watered ever since. On Mkhwanazi himself, well, I put the fairest version of his defense, that a Damascene moment is not impossible. We saw Mogoeng Mogoeng appointed by Zuma, feared to be a political instrument, remember? But he turned out to be a genuinely independent Chief Justice who actually was the man who brought Zuma to justice, if you think about it carefully. Transformation in public life happens. People step up when they're given big responsibility. But O'Sullivan's point does stand. If Mkhwanazi wants whistleblower status, then he needs to account for what happened in 2012, when, on the evidence provided to the commission, he appears to have unlawfully unsuspended the, well, crook, I don't think he's saying it too strongly, Richard Mdluli, on someone else's instruction, Zuma perhaps, and then covered it up for 8 years. A whistleblower needs clean hands. O'Sullivan says those hands aren't clean. The report will be delivered on August the 31st, and that's going to be the big test. If the commission limits itself to the frame that Mkhwanazi put on the table, it would have been a very expensive exercise in focusing on the wrong map. If it follows O'Sullivan's evidence into the appointments culture, the slush funds, the political instructions that corrupted South Africa's criminal justice system going back at least 15 years, then something meaningful may emerge. O'Sullivan's solution sounds almost too simple. Start with a clean sheet of paper. Everyone reapplies for their jobs. Everyone gets properly vetted. Lifestyle audits. Pay off the bad ones if you have to, because the alternatives, a police service that decides who is prosecuted and who isn't, like Mexico, is not a fantasy. We've had warnings about this before. It's what happens when you keep kicking the problem down the road. Please listen, those who are there and seem not to be hearing. So before we close, let me bring all three of the threads for today together, because they are connected. This morning on the JSE, South32's shareholders got a 10% reward for management's decision to find the best long-term home for their aluminium assets. Alcoa's commitment to South African industrial infrastructure, if that is true, because Hillside's amongst them, we don't know the details of the $5.5 billion and how much of it is for Hillside. But if so, it's a genuine vote of confidence in this country's future from a very credible source. The global aluminium story, electric vehicles, power grids, renewable energy, is only getting more compelling. That's real capital placed here for the long term. We can take that as encouragement. But last night in the union buildings, President Ramaphosa sent a very different kind of signal. Once again, an own goal. Dina Pule, found guilty of persistent dishonesty by Parliament's Ethics Committee, found to have acted unlawfully by Thuli Madonsela. My goodness, how much more evidence do you need? She now controls the portfolio that keeps 28 million South Africans fed through their social grants. The previous occupant of that chair was fired for corruption. The replacement comes with her own corruption finding. It's not a reshuffle. It's a stress test of whether the government of national unity means anything at all when it talks about accountability. And at the Madlanga Commission, Paul O'Sullivan has placed on record a case that, if the commission has the courage to follow it, may find that South Africa can get an honest account of what went wrong in its police service and how far back it goes. Trust is the currency today, as it always is in South Africa. I'm Alec Hogg. Thank you for watching and listening to the BizNews Edge. Everything we've discussed today is on biznews.com, BizNews TV, or BizNews Radio. See you tomorrow. Cheerio.
Healthcare matters, but what matters most?
Having cover for the people who keep this business going.
Bonitas is there for you when it comes. Bonitas, medical aid for South Africa. Visit bonitas.co.za and find your plan.
In uncertain times, good information is priceless. The BizNews Conference is heading back to the Drakensberg. Join me, Alec Hogg, from the 11th to the 14th of August for BNC 9, Champagne Sports Resort, where it all began and where our community gathers for honest conversations, smart investing insights, and direct access to some of South Africa's sharpest minds. Come and rub shoulders with the best we've got. 28 keynote speakers, 3 days. Seats are available now. Book your seat by clicking the link in the description. Start your day a step ahead. BizNews Insider. It delivers the business stories that matter every morning straight to your inbox. Sharp, fast, and free. Subscribe now.